Denny, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, gents. Congratulations to the pup. It's fantastic.
Thank you, buddy. Very kind.
Very proud of you.
Thanks, mate.
Now, Denny, how was it? You wrote that article in the Herald on the weekend concerning Paul Gallen and the payment he's received in the wake of the peptide scandal some years ago. How was it when you met last night before recording 100% footy at Channel 9?
We met in the car park, actually. That doesn't sound good, does it?
No disrespect to you, Denny, but I reckon if the gloves were pulled on, mate, you weren't going to win.
Mate, one hand behind his back, you know, could tell me I don't want to know. Look, it was okay. Look, Gal didn't want me to write the story. I had a reason for writing it because I believe, and I'm correct in this belief, that every time the peptide scandal is mentioned, you hear of one player, and that's Paul Gallen, when there are a lot of other people who were involved in the Sharks. Players were found to have been, to sum it up, been doped and duped. And I think that people forget that and like to give Paul Gallen a hard time. I think the fact that he got a payment in the vicinity of $700,000 from the club is a fair indication to everybody that Paul Gallen wasn't some sort of ringleader or wasn't some a Pied Piper leading players towards any sort of drug use. He was part of the situation where he did his checks, he checked with the right people, and unfortunately, he got swept up in the whole situation, and I think that his payment indicates that he was wrong. So $700,000 payment for Paul Gallen, say what you want about him, but that says a lot.
Yeah, I agree, Denny. What about this Josh Reynolds saga, mate? Have we got any more truth as to the actual facts of what's happened there?
Look, I think it's fairly straightforward. He did fail a roadside drug test. He didn't have his license up to date. But his second test was in contrast to the first one. And from what I'm told, the second test is the one that will be tested at the labs. And Josh Reynolds has told people that he did not use any drugs and that he's also been told that a second test is usually the one that counts, and it's very rare for a second test to show up a contrary result. So I don't think Josh Reynolds, from all the information I'm getting, is in any bother at all. Obviously, not having his license up to date is just careless.
Yeah. And you know, given what he's been through over the last couple of months, hopefully he'll be okay and he's able to continue on with his footy career. But the big talking point, and no doubt you would have discussed it last night yourself, Phil Gould and Paul Gallen, the Dragons, disappointing loss to the Bulldogs, and the pressure just keeps getting applied to their coach, Paul McGregor.
Look, there are so many elements to this story, Laurie, as you well know, and I know you're good mates with Paul, and I consider him to be a good fella as well. And I tried to grill Gus as much as I could about the review he did into the Dragons. What I'm getting out of that was that there was no way that review was going to be leading to the coach being sacked. Phil Gould refused to accept payment for that review. He admitted that. And I think that, I don't know if all of the ideas that Gould implemented or suggested to be implemented in that report have been implemented. I know that the major change, we saw Shane Flanagan come in, but Paul McGregor moved Ben Hornby on, and I don't think that was part of any suggestion from Gould. And I think that Paul McGregor has decided to try and take on more of a hands-on coaching role and more an attack, and I don't know if that's really working. I think, from what I can read into things and reading between the lines, I think what St. George Illawarra really needed was for Phil Gould to take over as their coach and coordinator. I don't know why that didn't happen. I would imagine it was for finance reasons, but I think that would have been the solution that should have happened, and probably still should happen if they could afford it.
Can I ask you though, Denny, would Gus have the drive and the ambition to get back into club football?
I think he would. I think, Laurie, I think if there was some sort of financial package eventually down the track, whether it's now or in the future, I think he likes a challenge. Gus honestly, I was speaking to him off air last night. He's awake 22 and a half hours a day. He doesn't sleep.
Mm.
He is always thinking. He's, you know, he loves his football. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, he's been offered the role or, you know, he's putting his hand up for it, but I think he's the person who should be getting in there or should be asked to get in there and fix the Dragons because they need fixing. And they need it from, look, I know Paul McGregor's copping most of the blame and he deserves a big whack of blame, but the entire club's a mess, unfortunately. I mean, their roster is structured is pretty poor. I think you were mentioning before about $2 million being tied up of their cap in a couple of their players who unfortunately are both not performing to their optimum. I mean, Ben Hunt is a very good player, but he doesn't seem to be mentally in tune enough at the club. And he's trying his hardest, but it's not quite working. And Corey Norman, you know, he's a bit flighty, isn't he? And unfortunately, they've invested a lot of money in him as well. And I think the entire club needs to be blown up and start again. And I think the only person who could probably restructure that club who has the football knowledge to do that, and I know he's got his knockers, is Gus.
What I found fascinating out of 100% footy last night is how Gus then came out and said, look, I don't even know of any of what was in the reviews being implemented.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I pressed him on that and I said, well, and then he said, oh, you can't see what would be implemented. You can't see what I've suggested to. So I don't know what that means. Mm. But the fact that, you know, they ask Gus to do something. He doesn't accept payment for it. And I don't know whether they've implemented what he's told them to do. It just indicates to me that they need, you know, Gus isn't everybody's cup of tea. He's my cup of tea. I rate him very highly. I think that he should have some sort of role. I don't know who else can really fix the problem. Can Wayne Bennett? I don't know. Like, I don't know whether Bennett is the one. But unfortunately for Paul McGregor, the way they played again yesterday, I think it's 2 points against two pretty poorly regarded teams in the Warriors and the Bulldogs, is just not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. And while Mary's a terrific bloke, I think if he was at another club, he may not have a job by this afternoon.
Denny, how would it work? I mean, everyone now is got to be more careful with the way that they spend their money.
Mm.
And with a soft cap, you know, if you were to pay out a coach, then employ someone like a Gus, who wouldn't be cheap. How does that all come about under a soft cap? Does a settlement with Paul McGregor to move him on, does that all of a sudden come under the soft cap? And are we at a situation where a game can afford to continually pay out big payments to people and not have them involved?
Short answer, yes and no. They would have to include it. As far as I'm aware, I could be wrong. I think that Gus wouldn't be cheap, like you said. But I don't, you know, do they appoint Dean Young? Do they appoint Shane Flanagan and hope that they can get them for a slightly cheaper sleeper price? I mean, I know Flanagan's got to serve his time, but He's a premiership-winning coach who's highly regarded and who also, he's got a real hard edge to him, which I think the Dragons players need because, unfortunately for Paul McGregor, they're just not responding.
Yeah.
I was actually a bit disappointed when I get what Mary's saying, that he's not a quitter, but I feel almost the honourable thing for him to do would be to say, okay, it hasn't worked, I'll stand down. And I know that's a very difficult thing to do, and I know that Paul's got a family to feed and all that sort of thing, but if it's not working, he's had like 5 or 6 years or whatever it is at the club, and maybe it would be the honourable thing for him to do, okay, look, I've tried my best, it hasn't worked, and hopefully I'll get to try again at another club because I'm sure that Paul McGregor can coach. I'm sure he understands football. It's just not working for him at the moment.
All right. If he was to stand down then, or you know, be sacked, at, you know, this week, who is likely to take over? And will Shane Flanagan get his penalty lifted early so he is allowed to become a first-grade coach sooner rather than later?
Yeah, there's a mix. Firstly, on Flanagan, there's mixed reports about whether he will get that opportunity or not. There's a lot of people at the NRL who have a personal dislike of Flanagan, and I think that will count against him to some degree. I think he served his time. I think you said the same thing last week, and I think he should be allowed back. I'm not saying it's going to suddenly happen, but I think that Peter Volandis may be asked to reconsider that at some point. If you're looking, if he can't take over immediately, which I feel he can't, I think that the person sitting there who has good raps on him and is well regarded is Dean Young. And perhaps he can take it over in the short term at least. But that's assuming that Mary will go. You know, like the Dragons are a club who are reluctant to sack coaches. Mary has said that he doesn't want to fall on his sword, that he wants to see it out and turn things around. But you, Laurie, I mean, I know you're a friend of his.
Yeah.
Can you see it lasting? I just don't know how it lasts.
Yeah. Look, I'm hoping. More than confident. I think, you know, results at the moment, yeah, and the way that they're playing, the writing is on the wall. I'd love to see the Dragons turn it around, and for Mary's sake, I hope he can, but he may not get another opportunity.
Do you think it could happen today?
Look, I fear for him. I fear for his position at the club. I look at the body language from him yesterday, and he won't quit, and he said that. But he is struggling, and he'd be asking himself the question, why can't I get these players to play to their potential? And he'll be questioning himself, and he'll sit down with the coaches today, no doubt, and have that discussion. And knowing Mary the way I do, I reckon he'll ask the senior players, and I reckon he'll ask the coaches, do you reckon I've got the trust of this group? Tell me.
Yeah.
Honestly, tell me. Because if I haven't, then I know it's time. And I know it's time to walk away. So it wouldn't surprise me if he brings in that leadership group, brings in his senior coaches, looks them in the eye, and they have a conversation.
Would anyone have the guts to say it to him?
Well, if I'm a mate, you'd have to be honest with him. And I'd be disappointed if people weren't. Because at the end of the day, when you're in that bubble, you can't see it, and you always think that you can you know, conjure up a miracle and get out of it. If I'm looking at Mary now, and he asked me that, I know what I'd have to say to him.
What would you say?
I would say, mate, it's not working. It's not working. You seriously need to consider your position, mate. I look at you now, and you are not the same person. It looks as though it's getting to you, understandably. Do you need the stress in your life? You know, do you think you can get the best out in this playing group? I would say to you, mate, as a friend, I know you're no quitter, but you've got to make the decision. They're not playing for you at the moment, and it might be time just to say, you know what? If someone else probably needs to come in and do this job. But I hope if that's the case, he's got people there strong enough to tell him that. But I want him to do well. I want him, you know, I want him to be there. I want him to come out the other side. But you ask me what I'd say to him if he asked me, that would be my answer.
And what do you think of the idea of Gus? I mean, could he be someone, you know, if you can get him interested in, and if he's available, is he equipped, and is he the person who could, you know, start from the ground up? Because that's what it feels like to me. It feels like a total rebuild is needed.
Yeah, I think you're right. And for me, Danny, a lot of those players, and I don't know how long they've got to go on their contracts, but some of those players I would be moving on. I'd say, guys, it's not working for whatever reason. Let's see if we can come to an arrangement where you can go and play your football at another club, because where we're going and your performances haven't aligned with what I'm after.
Sounds like Earl Daly may be the man to go in there and Straighten them out.
Well, I thought you might be angling this one.
I just get frustrated when I see that group, and I don't want to see all the blame. And again, Mary has to cop his fair share because he's in charge. Yeah. But I don't want to see that same playing group all of a sudden stick around when the coach gets all the blame. Because for me,
Gus and Gal both said last night that the players have got to cop the blame. They've got to cop it, you know. Yeah. And Gallen's a recently retired player, and you know he knows what goes on at a club like that, and knows when clubs are in trouble. And he was saying the players can't just allow all of it to be on the coach.
No. And what tends to happen? I'm not saying this happens at the Dragons, but what you'll have happen, you'll have some board members go around to some players. Oh, mate, tell me. Just come here. What's going on? And the players then sense that they're under a bit of trouble, so they do the, oh, well, mate, the coach, he's got no idea, or he's lost the dressing shed, and then all of a sudden things just get out of control, and then it just becomes hysteria, and everyone's looking to protect their own position, and, oh, the coach, bang, we're going to get rid of him.
It's often cheaper too.
And that's the point. That's the point. And again, I might be talking through my mateship with Mary, and I probably am. And if that's my weakest point in being protective and supportive of my friends, we'll so be it. But I think that the players need to share some responsibility as well.
Danny, promises to be a fascinating week, mate. Great to talk to you as always.
Thanks for having me on.